Troublemaker, and hopefully I'm not frozen. Okay, good. This is not Frozen or Frozen 2. So here it is. Welcome to the monthly creators content creators meetup. I'm nervous. I will slow down. And I have a group of amazing people, content creators from all over the world. I absolutely do. And if you're just watching me for the first time and you're not in the U.S., then I'm somebody from another country for you. So it all works out. Today I have Tina Wan Kenobi, Paul Weber, Ash Borland, Xanthi, and Marcus, and we are ready to go. So let's go. And I'm going to start. What the purpose of this is that we talk about our content creation journeys. We talk about our pain points. We talk about projects we're working on, as well as we answer questions and about content creation challenges and just talk about this journey we all have. And I need a better scene. So there we go. Here we all bubbles. Bubbles, everybody. So I'm going to start with Tina. We're going to get started with everybody just introducing themselves. So,
yes.
Tina.
Hi. Hi, Roy. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
And I'm so honored to be here. I'm so honored that you invited me for this, like, a roundtable thing. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself.
Oh, about myself. Well, I stumbled upon live streaming because of Mommy Guide, Mommy Lala. She invited me to join her in her streams. But before that, I have been uploading videos, like random videos, you know, anything to do with flying drones. Some of it was about flying drones, cooking. You know, those are random things which I have uploaded since 2013. Yeah. So no direction, actually, until I met Mommy Guide, Mommy Lala, and she saw my content and she invited me to join her in her streams, crafty streams every Wednesday and Saturdays in her channel, which is doing great ever since, I think, 2020. But I joined her only last year for the whole year. So this month is actually 1 year anniversary since I joined her stream. So
and
there.
And I'm convinced you guys don't sleep either. So I'm just going to say all teams are asleep. So, all right. Paul Weber.
Yeah. Hi, Roy. Thank you so much for inviting me onto the panel today. It's a great pleasure to be representing the UK. And my journey as such, I've been watching your channel and your growth pretty much as part of the same live streaming group that we both joined back in the day. And that started for me back end of the pandemic, I think. So kind of 2020 was when I got started in live streaming. I'd never done it before, ever. And so I launched a YouTube channel thinking I was going to be doing audio production for beginners. And that's how it started out. And, you know, I'm a voiceover artist, so I tend to give a slant towards audio production from that point of view. But, you know, it's been a great pleasure. And you know, you'll no doubt hear about the journey as we go forward in today's show. And it's just a great pleasure to be here. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being here. Ash Borland.
Hey, Roy, and hey, everyone else. It's so good to be here. I'm really looking forward to this. It's been in my diary for a while, so very excited. So hi, guys. My name is Ash Borland. I'm a marketing consultant based in the UK. I work predominantly with financial services, helping people build out marketing strategies. I'm a podcaster, marketer, and anything to do with content, I'm just obsessed with it. Really, I'm sure we're going to unpack it as we go through with this, as to how I got into it. It's quite a strange journey, but yeah, just absolutely love this. This is more of a labor of love right now because I do that all full time. So this is more just being able to hang out with other creators and talk shop for an hour is just wicked. So yeah. Really excited.
Thank you for being here. All right, Xanthi.
Oh, it's me. Hi. thank you as well for inviting me. It's great to be here in this wonderful panel with co-creators. So yeah, my story in a short, I don't know, where do I start? Okay, so I'm from Greece. I live in Sweden and I have been, I have a channel on YouTube where I do focus on WordPress tutorials and I use Elementor a lot. I am a WordPress developer That is my day job. I work in an agency and that is what I do. But I have my YouTube channel. And I guess later on we will go into more details about content creations, yeah, challenges, the good and the bad and everything. But this is what I do. I have some blogs. I do some gaming also, you know, geeky, yep, stuff. That's the whole package. Yes.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you as well.
Next up, Marcus.
Yeah. Hi, Roy. So great to be finally in one of your shows. Usually I don't get invited because it's in the middle of my night, and this time we're in luck.
I did this show just for you, Marcus. I wanted you to have a time where you didn't have to lose sleep to be on the show.
Sleep is a whole other story. Let's don't talk about sleep. I'm from Switzerland, and I have a regular day job where I work with agile software development, with product owners, Scrum team, business analysts. And yeah, then I discovered the ability to stream, and that has been a really fun journey. And I recently started with shorts and finally got my very first troll, and I'm celebrating that.
That's good. Because
yeah, that means you made it.
Yes.
Love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Let's see. We got a lot of folks out. Wow. Let's just kind of shout out here. Ash says, hey, it should be a good one. Yep. Christina, Scrapbook Crafter. So, yeah, we got a lot of crafting community out here. Thank you so much. Everybody came over from Lala's show. Whimsical Thoughts. Happy Saturday, everyone. Woot, Grimskull. Hey, welcome.
Hi.
That's Xanthi's partner in crime on the gaming stuff. So one of her partners in crime.
True.
Another one. She'll tell us later. Giga Art. Woohoo, Tina. Tina. And then mommy out there saying hi to everybody. So, yep. Morning, Walt. How you doing, sir? Welcome. Let's go. Hello, mommy guide. Hey, Robert. How you doing, sir?
Hi, Robert. Hello, everyone in the chat.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. Lurking.
Hey, mommy god, lots of folks out there. Wow, so
that's great.
Yeah, definitely got a crowd. Thank you everybody that's out there, y'all. Thank you so much. Inebriated Musings. Okay, I don't know if we've met before, so that
that's Charlene, one of the crafty sisters.
Okay, cool. Welcome. There's tall boy out there. Corey, how you doing, sir? All right, so let's talk. So, you know, my favorite part of the Marvel Universe and lots of other universes, any book, any great journey, is the origin story. And so kind of two things I'm looking for. One is really, how did you get your start with content creation? Whatever platform is your chosen platform or preference when you first started out, or maybe a different platform now, but, you know, whatever worked for you. And then follow it up with, what is your favorite part about content creation? So I'm gonna start with Tina. Tina, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And everything is laggy this morning. There we go. All right. Cool.
All right. What was the question?
I definitely was waiting for someone to say that.
What is the meaning of life? Besides 42. No, how did you get started content creation? You talked about you've made so many different things. What's your origin story? What made you hit that go live button, or what made you put pen to paper, or record that first video? Uh-huh. What started that?
That's a very easy question. What made me hit that live button? It's Lala. She's an enabler. Putting aside, she's been very instrumental in, for me, hitting that live go live button. I was very hesitant at first because I'm not used to, you know, live streaming on YouTube. The most that I have live streamed was on Facebook, and that was with my family, right? Not with out in the public like this. So it was Lala. She's like my mini Leda. So it's live every day with Lala. Yep. It's LEDL, something like that. So she trained. I got to train with her for like 2 months. I started January last year. I started going live on my own channel by March. So 2 or 3 months or so. That's how I got trained, because that's like twice a week of crafting and her channel, Mommy Guide Inc. So Wednesday and Saturdays, that's when we go live, and I craft along with her, and we go on, talk with people on chat, and that's how history started.
So how about you, Paul? How did you get your start?
Sure, yeah. Well, I stumbled across an organization which you know very well, Live Streaming Pros, and it was just because I was searching for something to do, because I knew that I was made redundant from my day job, working for a radio station and performing the afternoon drive show and working from home as they did for a while. And so, you know, I needed something to occupy my mind, keep me sane, to be fair. And it's a great release. If you're creating content online, it's a great way of keeping your mind occupied, I think. And I think everybody should agree with that, is that it gives you something to focus on, which is good, because I was worried that I would just drift and, you know, not concentrate on any one particular thing. And so I managed to set up, really. I started going live from my phone, which was awful, and then a really old laptop, which was even worse. And so then eventually upgraded to a camera. It was a camcorder to start with. Obviously, I had the gear, the audio gear, because I had a massive mixing desk and a microphone and everything else that goes with it. But wow. I didn't have an audio platform to use, so I tried something. I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, then went to vMix, which, because I'm a PC user, so vMix was the obvious choice. And that's what I use on my live streams each Monday night. And so I began the channel thinking about audio production from a beginner's standpoint, because I felt that there wasn't enough mediocre content, but certainly the kind of lower end content. I found it a bit highbrow, the stuff I was researching and looking at. So I thought, well, there must be a gap there somewhere. So I came at it from a beginner's standpoint and you know, go through audio production skills and techniques and tips and hints and that kind of thing on my channel, with a slant, as I said earlier, towards the voiceover artist rather than a musician. Because I'm not a musician, I'm not a singer, but we do explore that kind of content. So that's where it began back in 2020. And here we are, 2023, and looking good and growing, I would say, gradually, and that's fine by me. I'm not, you know, into massive growth. I just want to grow gradually and steadily, get to that, you know, 1,000 subscriber mark and, you know, enough money to monetize it and stuff like that. So, you know, in the next 12 months, I want to be able to get to that point. That's my kind of goal, if you will.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And I've been helping you out. I've been doing all the mediocre content for you, so you didn't have to.
So. Yeah, probably mediocre was the wrong choice of word, but you know what I mean? Oh, okay, so the kind of... Yeah, yeah. But no, it's one of those things that I felt that the stuff I was researching, looking at was very highbrow and, you know, very, very intense, if you will. So I wanted to kind of step back and give people the opportunity to look at it from a really beginner standpoint. And, you know, we muddle through together, my community and myself. They're often chiming in with, why don't you try this? Why don't you do that? Did you know that you're muted? In fact, I'll give you a story a little bit later on, but that's beside the point. Right. But yeah, we kind of muddle through together like your community does. So yeah, it's good fun.
Thanks. Ash, how about you, sir? What's your origin story?
Yeah, no, I'm loving hearing everyone else's. I'm getting sucked in. So my origin story, probably similar to lots of people in the beginning. So in some ways, so I'll kind of like go back to the beginning. So I started off originally in musical theatre performing arts. So that was in London. I worked there as a performer and left that. And the reason why that was important was I left that and I went and became a real estate agent, a state agent here in the UK, real estate in the US, so to speak. And I moved from there into mortgages. So I just ran away from this performing arts career that I'd had. And I was very good at it. I worked in the West End, but I just forgot about it. You know, went on, did a normal life, got married, had, you know, like went and did it, thought they just buried it away. And then about 6 years ago, coming up to 7 years in February, I was working self-employed as a mortgage advisor, and I kind of had enough. I'd fed up of relying on the people to, you know, to constantly generate leads from them. So like working with other partners to make business. And I'd followed quite a lot of fitness industry creatives at the time. The fitness industry at the time was really starting to grow. They were using Instagram a lot. There was these people that were using podcasts, and I kind of stumbled as well across Gary Vaynerchuk, as people have. And I was just kind of listening all the time, but never doing anything, just kind of listening to it. And it kind of hit the point where I just decided, you know what? I've got to stop moaning about this. I'm going to pick up my phone. And at the time, I think it was an iPhone 5. And I remember before I went to the office, I propped this phone up against the against my coffee mug, and I just made a video about how to buy a house and how to get a mortgage, and it was 1 minute. And I didn't really think much of it. I just did that, and I really enjoyed it. So I was like, this is really fun. So I did it the next day, and subsequently, 7 years later, I've never missed an upload. Never not made a video. But what happened was, over that 2 years, originally it was purely just for mental health, if I'm going to be honest with you. It was purely for mental health. But what happened was, at the time, no one in the industry, in the financial service industry, had ever done it. And I didn't know that. I just kind of was just doing it. And so I ended up being a massive disruptor in that space. And fast forward to when COVID came, and when the pandemic hit, I was like the leading guy in the UK at content marketing for financial services. And I just kind of made a decision where, when the world started moving digital, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to move into this, and I'm going to shut my business down, and I'm going to go all in to try to be a coach in this space. And fast forward from that, and it has gone mad. You know, I've known Roy now for about a year, and it's crazy. Like, even what happens has happened in a year. Like, it blew up. And so now that my day job is this, I am kind of pinch myself every single day to look at, you know, I have like two podcasts that are in the top 20 marketing charts in the UK. I have a multiple six-figure business that's been built purely from sitting and putting my phone up against a mug and doing exactly what it was. So that's how I got into it, was purely just exploring an interest and then not giving up every time everyone told me I was wrong, you know? So that's how I got into it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I was going to be a rock star.
That's very inspiring.
Well, it's one of those stories that's inspiring when you hear it, but it's also like, just as exactly the same as everybody else's. You might sound it when you connect the dots at the end, but at the time, maybe when you're going through it, it all makes sense when you look back, but during it, it doesn't really. It just, you know, and to be completely honest with you, the bit that I've loved the most about it with that is nothing to do with the business or the growth or it's actually getting to meet wonderful people. Like, that has been like, this is what this stuff right now where I'm hanging out with you guys, like, this is the bit that means more than anything else. Like, the fact that I can meet new creators who think about the same type of thing as I think. If I could do that all day and every day and not have to work with, then I'd do that.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. I was going to be a rock star, but that didn't work out. So.
You're a rock star to me, mate.
Okay. I appreciate that. All right. Xanthi, tell us your origin story.
Yeah, well, after listening to Ash's story, I can say that I could see very many similarities into my story. So mine has kind of a ups and downs, which I guess also might be relatable to many of you. So how back do I go now? Around 2010, I was freelancing with WordPress, and I was figuring, okay, I could do YouTube as a marketing channel, you know, to promote my services. But at the time, I was suffering from huge imposter syndrome, and it took many years. I never did it back then, or I was trying, but I never did it. It took many years to overcome watching content on YouTube. Gary Vaynerchuk, as I said, it kind of helped me a lot to get over that fear by saying, nobody cares. I mean, just go there and do your thing. Why are you afraid? You know, that kind of mentality. And it was also similar to Gary Vaynerchuk, Think Media podcast, and of course, Live Streaming Pros. You know, I was thinking, okay, I have to start going live. I wanted to do live stream because I was watching, consuming content, and everyone saying, if you want to grow, you have to go live, or, you know, make videos. I deep inside me, I wanted to be part of that world. That is maybe my why. I wanted to participate, not for money, but I wanted to be a part of this amazing content creation world. And I discovered, or I found on Facebook, that the Leader Challenge. And then that is when I went live, pretty much for the first time in a way. And after that, after passing over that initial fear of going live, I think it's my favorite part now. You know, just go live, even if it's for one person. It's what gives me energy, you know, adrenaline. It's so fun. And now, after overcoming the imposter syndrome and everything, yes, I do focus and I do create WordPress tutorials. I do have a job. I don't freelance anymore. I have a job and I'm very happy there. But it is my thing. It's what I love doing. And I keep doing that. And I have some vlogs as well. Because we talked briefly about it previously. There is something called burned out. And okay, I do like producing tutorials, but sometimes my creative brain wants to do something else. So I do some other fun stuff as well. So if I can summarize it, that's what my origin story pretty much is. Overcoming the fears and then just going all in now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep. You didn't talk about your gaming channel, but I guess you can tell us about that later.
I want to know about also, that. I mean, well, in 2015, I was trying with a friend of mine. I said, should we go stream like on Twitch and play some games? And I do play video games in my free time. But actually, it's not something that I want to do on a constant basis. But I do enjoy gaming with friends. And yeah, we do game with Grimskull and Sersting also we do. Yeah. But on weekends. But it's a fun thing as well. It's one of those things, you know, to have fun.
It's friends getting together gaming and you just happen to live stream at the same time. That's fantastic.
Exactly, exactly. It's another way of making content for fun. I mean, for fun, like having fun while doing content, yes.
Yep. Marcus.
Yeah, in the Swiss Alps, where Roy puts me. Yeah, so I was just thinking I could go a little bit back more because I have two steps maybe to my origin back in 1990 when there were no smartphones and no reasonable way to publish yourself like today. You can just go on YouTube and you have no entry barrier. You can do it. And there was no such thing. And back then I was 15 and I was making hospital radio. And that was a passion of me where I really had a creative outlet. And we got to do all the cool things, producing radio and talking with people. And then I did that for many years and then that kind of faded out and I had a pretty standard, normal, everyday career. But there in the back, there was this icking to maybe do something and it was getting so much easier. And then as many others of you, I stumbled up on live streaming pros and did the leader challenge. And it took me twice to do that twice. And then I finally thought, okay, let's do that. Let's go live. And going live was really a very good thing for me because I'm a bit of a perfectionist and that always holds me back in content creation. But with going live, I announce I will be here at that day at that time, and then how prepared or unprepared you are, you just go there and you start talking, and that is the best cure to my perfectionism and procrastination. And it is so much fun, and I especially love the community, meeting people like you right here or meeting people in my chat and helping each other. And Lala is an important part in my stream. She was my very first interview guest and she's a moderator and she always gets up in the middle of the night for me to moderate on my stream. And it's just fantastic. And it's all just beginning. So the adventure continues.
Yeah.
It's going to be an amazing year. So I don't know. I'll do my origin story really, really fast because you guys have, anybody's watched this before, I bored you already. But so I've written some books. That was kind of my content creation journey. But in 2017, I started a podcast called the One Off Tech Podcast. And I did that for 2 years. And then I took a 2-year break. And then COVID happened. And suddenly I said, I got to start that podcast again. I had wanted to. And then I had no excuse because I was trapped in my house. So I restarted my podcast and then Lita happened, and I had been collecting gear to go live. I've been uploading videos to YouTube forever because of teaching, and nobody had anywhere for me to host videos. So I do like tutorials, upload them to YouTube, and my students would watch them because I didn't want to repeat myself multiple times after I demonstrate something. But then I watched Lita, and I pivoted. I took my podcast on live, since my tech news show wasn't working out on YouTube. So I said, I'll do my podcast. And then I take that audio from that show and then I make it into my podcast. So that has just been my creation journey. And I love going live. I've gone live every Tuesday for about to hit 2 years. So I'm really excited about that. I'm just going to keep it going and having a lot of fun along the way. And I keep getting better and it keeps getting better. And so, as long as you just keep doing it for fun. I did burn out last year, you know, like you were talking about, Xanthi. A lot of us do. And I just got to keep going. So there are a bunch of people out there. And I know I am way behind on everybody saying hi to everybody, but I'll try to catch up. Kirsten Eskimo, yep. Well, saying hi to Robert, yep. Lots of folks out there. If you do have a question, I don't have a moderator, so you just have to accept that. Put a Q colon to make life easier so I can find your questions. Anybody has any questions? And one question that nobody mentioned answering was, what's your favorite part of content creation? So when I come back around, you got to tell me that. Definitely lots of awesome folks out there. Welcome everybody out there that's out there today. Walter Strong in the house. How you doing, man? Every time Walter says good morning, Tech Troublemaker, I like literally hear it in his voice in my head. So
Tech Troublemaker.
I know.
He's like a wrestling commentator. Yeah. That's what he reminds me of.
I just need to get him to do a soundbite for me.
Yeah, VMix. Yeah.
That is his thing with that. When you said about power, that I always say with Walter, but my thing was that when I first met him, I was just kind of like, it was like he'd floored me. He was like really normal. And then he just pressed life. And then he was like, welcome. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is like hardcore. What is this? Yeah. This is, I feel like I'm on WWE or something.
Welcome, Sammy Pie. I think you're new here. I don't know if you're not. I'm sorry if you've been here before. Victor, welcome, sir. Yep, definitely. Ash. Already had a database of content you build on, they will come. Yes, that is definitely true. So, all right, let's hit the next round. So, two things I need you to tell me first. What is your favorite thing about content creation? And then why you got this camera on you? Let's talk about pain points. I know a lot of us have had some crazy challenges in our content creation journey. Just things that, you know, perfectionism is one thing I've battled. Also, that need to have the best gear possible was another thing that was a challenge. You know, these are just first world problems, I know, because you can just go live with a camera. But, Tina, I'm going to start with you. And then you know, tell me about, you know, your challenges of getting started with content creation.
Okay, do I start with that?
Start with your favorite first, though. We'll start with that one. What's your favorite part of content creation?
Favorite part of content creation is creativity, because most of the things that I do on my live streams or in my channel is about art, arts and crafts, but mostly art lately. So that's my favorite thing. You know, I watch a lot of other channels to find inspiration on what I can show on my own channel, and then I tweak it a little, and then I show it to my friends by way of live stream. So that's the part I really enjoy about. The one thing that's blocking me, that's like preventing me from being creative, is like not finding inspiration at all. Sometimes you get that creative block, right? So you cannot seem to find that inspiration, and you sort of try to rehash something that you've done before and you try to do a twist on it. Another thing that I love about content creation is like not just about content, but accumulating all the gadgets. Even before I did live stream, I have been collecting gadgets, and Lala knows this. She has seen how I collected gadgets like Stream Deck. I have a Rodecaster Pro back in 2020, and it stayed in the box for an entire year until she convinced me, use it, you know, learn to use it. And so I did when I joined her in her live stream. And that's the time that I, you know, I watched the videos about how to use it. And so I enjoyed unboxing gadgets, and Stream Deck, I have yet to use it constantly, but it's still, it's just sitting there in my shelf, but I need to use it. And also cameras. I love cameras. So I basically have two Sony cameras, which I love, which also Live Streaming Pros suggested and recommended. So there.
But once you start using the Stream Deck, you will not know how you managed without it, I promise you.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Yes, yeah, and if you bought the 15 button, you will go back and buy the 32 because you regret you bought the 15 button.
So. No, this is where Roy keeps wishing he lived near to me because he knows I don't. I would rather swap it. I prefer. I've got the 32, and I just use like 10 buttons. I even have now the pro one. They sent me one, and I was like, I don't even know what to do with that.
Keep it simple. 15 buttons is enough. We don't want to overcomplicate.
Yeah, too way too. I bought 32, and I literally have on and off.
I was going to say, on the 15, I kept having to go page, because I would literally set a button for every scene and the sound effects.
Oh, you have? Okay. Okay. Yes.
So, so 32 is like, I could stay on one page for most of the show. Exciting. Okay. Thank you, Tina. Appreciate that. All right. Next up, Paul. Tell us, first of all, what is your favorite part about content creation?
Sure. I think you touched on it in rehearsals, but in the green room before we went live, you touched on it and you said one of the most important things of when you go live is getting that feedback and getting that, that interaction from your community. And for me, that's brilliant. When somebody pipes up and says, how do I do this? How can I solve this? What's the route to do this with? I'll give you an example just very briefly. Last Monday when I went live, a guy said, and he may well be in the audience today, Matt, said, how do I mic up a viola? Because I've got a friend of mine who plays one, and I'd like to mic it up. And I said, well, you know, there's a number of ways you can do it. And we went through some hints and tips about how to get the right sound out of it. But you know what? It was great to get that kind of, because then that A, gives you content above your normal content, because you then go into more detail about it. But also it's beneficial to your audience who think, actually, yeah, that's a good question. I'm too shy to ask it, or they haven't asked it before. So, you know, that for me is the best part of live streaming, is when you get interaction from your community, your crowd. And, you know, I think Tina, you said it earlier on, or maybe Xanthi, where you went live and it was just one person. It doesn't really matter. Because you have fun with that person, and you know, as long as there's kind of interaction there back and forth, it doesn't matter if there's one or 21 or 2,100, it doesn't really matter. When you're live and you've got an audience, and even if you haven't, people have watched the replay. I've found that in the past that I've done a whole hours long live stream of audio production. There's nobody on. I'm going, well, fine. Thanks very much. Thanks for showing up. but then I get a lot of views after the fact because of the title and the thumbnail and all that jazz that goes with it. So, you know, that for me, the best part I would say about the live streaming is the interaction. Pain points for me is coming up with new ideas for content creation. I've been a whole month not doing anything because I procrastinated about what I'm going to say next. So I stupidly stopped going live for a month. And I only literally went live on Monday back again. So I'm back in the saddle and I will be doing every Monday from now on. So that's good. But for me, that's the pain point. Yeah.
And you didn't tell us, you didn't say anything about Ironing Board Man at all.
Oh man, I haven't even touched on that. Well, okay, so during my audio production journey, I, for some bizarre reason, decided to do ironing live on the channel whilst chatting to the community, right? So I'm there with an ironing board because I used to get my stuff piled up in a corner waiting
to do it. That sounds dangerous.
Once per week. And so I set the ironing board up. I had a separate camera pointing to the ironing board. I just, you know, went live as we're doing right now with a bit of background music from Epidemic Sound and all that kind of stuff. And then it started to grow. Those videos started to get some traction. So I thought, hang on a minute. So I launched a new channel. So the channel name is Ironing Man Paul. So if you go at Ironing Man Paul, it'll come up. But I don't like to talk about that channel very much. It's growing very, very, very slowly, and it's not designed to be massively growth. But it's just one of those places where I just hang out and chat with the community, and they seem to love it, which is bizarre.
It's just a form of ASMR, is what it sounds like.
I think you're right, yeah. And, you know, I'm there ironing and I'm folding it up and I'm doing it all nice and neatly and I'm putting it on hangers, and people love the sound of the hangers and the steam out of the iron and all sorts. In fact, here, look, just just to prove that it's genuine, here's the iron that I use.
So, can yeah. I say something about that?
It's not on. Yeah, yeah.
I was just watching another video, and it was a woman, and she was saying that do something else, like put your makeup on or do something else while you're talking about something, because that makes the audience want to see where you are getting at with that, and it makes them stay longer. So if you're ironing while you're talking about audio production, people are going to stay because they want to see, okay, he's ironing, he's going to fold them nicely, what is going to happen, and they get to listen to what you say. So that is a very good thing, actually. So yeah, keep doing that.
Thank you. Awesome. Yeah. Yep. But it's now got its own channel, so that's cool as well.
Well, okay, yeah.
And there's information about it in the description. I have information about all my guests today in the description, so please see there to find their links and such. Ash, what's your favorite part of content creation? You kind of touched on that earlier, but, you know, what's your favorite
part? There's so many parts. I was trying to think this through, thinking, what do I love the most? And there's so many. It depends on at the moment. I've already touched on kind of one, but I think one of the things I love about content creation is the kind of logging and documenting what you know at that point in your life. I think that for me has been groundbreaking. That's the bit that for myself of going, looking back and being able to go, wow, like that journey has been 7 years and there are videos that document that. And sometimes that's really helped get Pat over that kind of feeling of, I'm not doing very much. I really do. And I always feel like that. I feel like every single day. And yeah, and I'll go back and watch a video and go, wow. So I think that's been my favorite thing, is realizing that you can look back and go, I've made like 1,000 videos, and I know, or I've made 1,000 podcasts or whatever. And you go, actually, I do know, obviously must know something, because I couldn't have taught. And so that is actually one of my favorite things. I think it stems off a lot of imposter syndrome for me. That's where that, and then I find that then sets me up for everything else in my life, because if I can do that, then I can do other things if I'm committed. My favorite part of it is, it really is like a diary for me now, like that's really is a diary. And so that's my favorite part of it. It also then my hardest bit, the thing that I've got so many pain points with it, but one of the pain points I find is that, so I'm an obsessive person, and I'm probably one of the few people, and Roy, you know me quite well. This is like, so I have zero worry on content output. Like my pain point is that the platforms genuinely can't handle the amount of volume that I genuinely would do. So like, and that's a really strange problem to have, but it's really annoying because, you know, like when shorts were coming out, I was making like 10 shorts a day and a podcast, and it's not that it's like that I'm like some sort of hard worker. It's just that if you do something every single day, you get good at it. And that is a real pain point, because now what actually happens with me is that plays on my mind. And it goes back to what I love about it, is I get this backlog of all these ideas. And it goes back to what I said about, I have to forget the ideas because that's my biggest pain point. And it's my biggest pain point right now. Like it really is. And then trying to force that into a niche, because I work specific with a niche and that helps really well. But then when someone like you might message me, Roy, or so anyone, and go, Ash, what would you do? I'm like, I know how to answer that. And then if Roy had that question, then I should probably do that on my channel, because there's other people like Roy. And I battle with that every single day. It's really annoying. It's funny if one of the questions in the chat said, like, how do you deal with it when you have a problem? Like when you want to talk about other things outside of it, like I want to talk about the same niche, but I want to help different individuals. Yeah. And I think the pain point is that coming to the conclusion of, you just can't. And I really try that every single day. Like every single day I'm like, oh, so that's mine. That's mine.
Struggle. Yeah.
It's a good problem to have, though, as you say. It's a good problem to have.
Do you know, it's one of those problems. Like I've got a friend who's very wealthy, and he was like, oh, I've got all this problem with tax and this and that, and I was like, oh, lucky you. And he's like, no, once you reach a certain level, it just becomes a different type of problem. And it's a problem no matter what. And it was like, that is a good problem to have, but at the same time it's not like, I really do envy people who are like, I don't really know what to post. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got like 900 ideas, and every time I open it, I look at it and go, that's 900 pieces of content. That all that goes through my head, and you'll all know this, is there are 900, and it is literally like, it's just under 1,000 of written posts and stuff that could be used. What if one of those posts is the thing that's stopping somebody, that someone needs that makes them, like you talk about Lala a lot. What if that is the person that needs it and you've got it in there and you're not saying it? And that just plagues me like mad. Like it really does. So,
yeah.
So it's a silly thing, but it is true.
Yeah. And then definitely a good thing that you, one thing you mentioned, your setup, you've got a dedicated setup. And a lot of people, content creators, don't have a dedicated setup. And that becomes friction and that prevents you from creating. And if you set up a place that this is where I'm going to go and I'm going to create and that's all it's for, then you are much more likely going to create than if you, oh, I've got to set that stupid light back up again and put the camera up and this, that, and the other. You won't create. Or I've got to do this, that, and the other with some program in order to make this work. You have to make your process as frictionless as possible. And so, you know, definitely, you know, Ash, you've done some streams where you talked about your entire process and broke it down and how you've got a very formulaic system that works great for you. And that's what a lot of people need. Maybe they need some sort of organization like that that really helped them through their challenges.
It is good. Like, you can do that. Like, it's like the vertical short stuff. Like, I ended up buying a new Canon camera purely to be able to shoot it vertically because it sounds so silly, but the investment of the money meant that if you can talk about one into one camera like that, and then I literally have one on an Elgato arm the other side, and it's upside down, so to speak. Or to, you know, I can then turn around and speak to that one, and the train of thought is exactly the same, but two are running at the same time. That sounds so silly, but that's how you can scale it, and a lot of that I learned from stuff like from Livestream Pros, like Luria. Like it is like a lot of that stuff is if you watch those guys, Nick, Luria, like, and I've had them on my podcast and spoke to them, and you watch them, you can see like, oh wait a minute. You can stack what they do and find your own way about it. It's pretty clever.
Yep, awesome stuff. All right. Santhi, what's your favorite part of content creation?
How much time do we have? How many hours?
Okay, I'm going to need you to shorten it just a little bit. Marcus said he was going to bail if he didn't like the show. No, I'm sitting there. Marcus.
Well, the thing is that I know that there are maybe 20 things that I want to mention, and I'm not going to be able to mention them. I'm going to forget them.
But you can do an episode on your channel and let me know and I'll make sure it comes and watches.
Okay, true.
Need
true.
Content ideas.
Yes. Well, the favorite part is, as many have already said, is the connection with other people, and not only with the audience, which is amazing, of course, but also with other co-creators like you. And I mean, I have so many co-hosts. We're doing so many products together with Robert and Cersei and Grimskull, and just me also by myself when I'm doing content, just either creating a recorded video or going live. After the live, when I stop streaming, I feel a great sense of accomplishment. Even if it was for someone, for one person, or even to zero people, as Paul said previously, then I consider it a recording session. And it is something that I learned from David Foster, where I was following his advice as well, that he said, okay, if there is no one in the beginning, like, make like take it for granted that when you start you're going to have probably zero, and many, like Harris Heller also, many say that you're going to start with zero, so consider it like a recording session if that's what it is. But regardless, zero, one person, five people, 1,001, once I stop streaming after that, I feel great, like, you know, I have done something, I have created something, and the whole creativity from it, it's one of my favorite parts, I would say. I have been taking notes also here so that I don't forget what I have to say.
And now your pain points?
Oh, my God. We have that as well. Yes. So, luckily, I was not so much worried about equipment. So I took the advice of many experts. Don't worry about equipment. Okay, audio is important. Okay. So I had my webcam and I have also a Sony ZV-1. But for me, the challenge is not equipment related or anything, but it's time. You know, full-time job, a family, a son, you know, to just find the time to do everything that was has been a bit challenging. And it was a time like a year and a half ago where I was streaming three times a week. I had a steady schedule and it was amazing. And I could see that I could get some growth, but I felt after a while overwhelmed because I was sacrificing some family time or some sleep time, you know, all of those things. So I took a pause, and now I do it. It might not be the best, but I do live streaming when I realistically can. But I also create recorded videos, you know, for those things. Mm-hmm. So time for me is a challenge, like to find, you know, I'm trying to optimize processes. And of course, after doing content creation, after starting on YouTube, the more I do it and the more many do it, the more we do it, the more efficient we become in something. So maybe then time is becoming less and less or more and more manageable. And then video editing also. So I know that Shorts is very good and they're very good for growth. But that means that I need to edit videos. I don't have another camera that I can put it. But that was a nice tip, actually. Maybe I can have the ZV-1 like that, so then I can have it ready-made. So that. But then again, okay, I'm using Filmora. You can, of course. But yeah, I get it. It's easier to just create something for that. But then again, the phone, you can record it on the phone. But video editing for Shorts and creating additional, like TikTok also, like using all those things, those are time consuming. So this is my challenge. Time is challenge for me mostly. So yes, that is, and finding a schedule that is realistic and stick to it.
Yes.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I was going to say, you made me think of that saying, dance like nobody's watching. I think that applies to live streaming too. We just have to live stream like no one's watching. That we're just, we're putting the content out there. We hope you watch it and just keep going. And so, yeah,
yes.
I've done the streams of nobody watching, and I've done the streams where, wow, there's a lot of people here.
But yes, exactly. Like yes. So,
yeah. I know we had a bunch of questions. I'm going to catch up with you guys a little bit on the questions. I'm sorry, Xanthi. I didn't mean to. Please finish.
No, I have finished, so we can continue to.
I'm sorry. I'm one of those people, I get excited and I can't keep my thoughts to myself and they pop out. I'm sorry. I'll try to control myself.
I'm the same.
Marcus. Hello.
Yes.
On. Let's try the Marcus button is suddenly
bring
not
me,
working.
Bring me there here, we back here.
There we go. There's that. He's back.
Yeah. Now. Here I am. Okay.
Tell me, first of all, what's your favorite part about content creation?
Yep. My absolute favorite part is the community, is interacting with people. And there are so much more things. It's also, I got to discover a whole new side on me because it's so different to what I do in my everyday job. I got to experiment with new things, try new things, and get confidence in other situations in my life. If I have to do a presentation in front of people, I know, okay, I can do that because I can do it on the stream, so I can do it in real life.
Yeah, awesome. And so what are some pain points that you challenge with, that you fought with or have already defeated?
Yeah, my main pain point is overthinking, and sometimes I feel like I am thinking more about content creation than actually create, and that is, in my opinion, a bit messed up thing. And so my motto is just go and do it. But I can think so much about things and then be critic about myself, have imposter syndrome, Yeah, and then once I go and actually do it, then it's fun and it's successful. And just by doing it, you get the experience and the feedback you need. And it should be a circle of thinking, doing. And I think also to watch too many YouTube help channels can then be, I mean, you can watch hundreds of hours how to do it. You can read books and then not do nothing with it. So it's all wasted. And it's even not very useful because you have nothing to connect with. And so my motto for this year is just go and do it, experiment and try out things. And then it makes all sense.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know. Let's see. My favorite part is you guys. Everybody that is on the stream right now, whether watching and chatting or on this panel right now, just the interaction with others, the content creators, they're trying to do similar things that have these challenges they're trying to make, and you know, overcome the challenges and keep creating content and keep ramping up and notching up and going for that 1% better every single time. I go for 0.0001% better, but you know, it's my message.
Still better.
It's still better, so I'm still working on it. You know, and then for me, the pain point was, for a long time, I was just collecting gear. I wasn't putting content out, and then time is the, I want to spend time. My family, I have a day job that's very demanding, and this is my creative outlet, is to be here and to hang out with you guys and try to, if I've gained any wisdom on anything, share it with others. Because I very much feel like I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find a piece of bread. That's just, you know, my thought process. And I'm my own worst enemy. So I'm, you know, if I don't create content, it's completely my fault. It's not, I feel like for a while I thought I had to be in a mood or a certain mind frame in order to be able to create content. And that's just not true. So there are a ton of questions out there. So I'm going to go, I didn't do the Avengers yet. Okay, here's the Avengers. If things are going to work today, wow, I'm hitting a lag here. I love when that happens. It's going to work. There we go. Avengers.
Wow.
Assemble. There we go.
Wow.
I love that scene. It's not very useful, but yes. I do love that scene.
I have to dip though.
All right.
I love this.
My favorite part is when your Stream Deck says, I'm not going to play anymore. And that's a new thing I haven't had happen before. So let's try one more time. And nothing wants to play well. So that's okay. I know how to click a mouse. All right. We're going to do shout outs. We got a lot of questions out here. The first one I see is, do you have a process you go through for every stream? So I kind of opened this up to a panel. Wow, that's interesting. Then it came back. There we go. Stay right there. It's going to catch up with me any minute, I'm sure of it. So there we go. All right. So one question I see is, do you have a process you go through before every live stream?
No, I just say, hey guys, to my family, I'm going to go live. Okay, bye. And I just go live and I say, hi, I haven't prepared anything, but here I am. So that's it. That's my process.
That's good. Yeah. And anybody else have any kind of process? I know some folks have checklists and all that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I because of my background in radio, I've been in radio since 1988, and so I got into the habit of scripting everything. So I tend to write a script for my live streams, just bullet points really, and I try and get it as close to the camera as I can. I don't have an auto cue, so I have it fairly close to the camera, so it looks like I'm still looking at the camera rather than a script on the side. But yeah, so that's one of my preparation processes, I guess you would call it. The other, of course, is getting the sound right. I was going to touch on this very briefly. The Monday night just gone. I was 2 minutes in before somebody said to me, are you muted?
Oh.
So, you know, as an audio production specialist, if you will, that was really embarrassing. So I was muted for the first 2 minutes. And so I've edited it off of the proper YouTube video. So yeah, it's fine. But yeah, so that's my kind of preparation process, if you will.
Cool. Let's see. Next, anybody else have a different process there, so to speak? Of course, this question is always going to come up. What is your favorite piece of gear? Mixer, microphone, Stream Deck, etc. What's your favorite piece of gear?
Can I say?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that the microphone, my mic, is my favorite piece of gear, because it really doesn't matter what kind of, how many cameras you have or anything. And many, I keep repeating myself, but it is the advice that I have heard, and it is actually true. People might watch a bad video, but the audio is what makes people stay. If it is great video, but the audio is not good, like, you know, it's bad for the ears, it's bad for the concentration. So I think, from everything, and I don't have that many as you guys, my mic, I made an investment. I said, okay, I want to invest in a good mic. So I have the Rode Podcaster. It's the dynamic USB one. So I don't have any extra. It just goes directly to my computer via USB, not the what is called the XLR.
XLR.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. No, I wanted to keep things simple, not too much fuss, and I'm very happy. So if anyone is looking for one investment, if you are short in budget, just get a webcam and but a good microphone, and that's mm-hmm. it.
Cool, cool.
Yes.
Ash, I was going to ask you what your favorite piece of gear is, because I know you're very gear agnostic. You're like, I can take it or leave it on a lot of gear. So what's kind of your favorite gear?
I was really struggling with exactly that question for that reason. I was thinking, please don't ask me, because I was looking around and I'm like sat in a room.
Where do I begin?
Pounds worth of gear, and yet really don't really care about any of it. Every time, as if me and Roy have joked about, every time I buy something, I go, this is great. And then I'm like, always have buyer's remorse. I would say probably it's tough. Do you know what my favorite piece of gear is? And I don't even use it anymore for that specific reason. Is actually the Logitech Brio webcam. Like, so that actually was the best piece of kit I ever bought for a webcam, because I think I bought three of them mistakenly. I bought three thinking I could plug them all into an A10 mini. I actually did a video on it, and I thought I could do that, and I couldn't do that. And then Doc Rock schooled me on that massively, telling me how bad I was. I was like chatting with Doc, and I was like, why does it not work? And he was like, why did you just spend like £1,000 on a load of webcams? Like, you could have just bought a camera. But I think that to me is the best piece of kit, because I do think that a lot of times when it comes to the gear, and I was having this chat with Kevin Colby, funny enough, saying like, it's our thing, we care, and us all talking about it cares, but the reality is the end user really does not care. Mm-hmm. So I really struggle that sometimes I feel like, you know, it's like a weird modern man thing of like, sometimes I'm like, am I too dependent on the gear, thinking the gear defines how good my show is? And I'm saying that switching cameras on an A10 mini all the way through this. So I do know, I do understand that. But at the same time, like, I think that the best gear obviously is that camera. But actually, my favorite thing when I work with clients, I just think a good mobile phone is probably all you need. I think that is the best investment. If you've got a good phone, and now with Apple doing the update where you can use the camera as your, like, we're getting to the point now where Apple has pretty much taken everything out of the point of actually needing to use physical gear, with Stream Decks now having apps, you know, and really all they are is hotkeys. Like, that was a big wake up for me a couple of days ago. I was like, I'm paid for the Stream Deck and I'm pressing all the buttons. And I was like, wait a minute, I could just literally program the number keyboard to do the exact same thing. Like, and that's always my battle with gear, is it's like, it's for me, not for anything. I had the microphone that you have there, the Rode, and then I bought this, and I was just so I could look like, oh, well, the Shure SM7B makes me look better. And everything is all about, well, it makes me look better, makes me do this. I even bought the Canons. I bought the Canon M50 Mark IIs, but I felt like embarrassed because they're not Sony, because Luria says you've got to get a Sony. So I was like, I bought the Sony, and then I was like, no. So I'm funny with gear. I really do think that if you're people, so it's a long-term story, that people who are listening to it, my biggest thing is like your phone and how you show up. And it's more important about rocking up consistently. I think that's way more important. And I actually do think the money you spend on gear, I would rather, when I say this to people when they ask me, the amount a camera would cost with a good lens, like say like the Sigma 16, which I've got on this one, I think, if that one there, that whole cost would probably cost all your subscriptions that you need for a year in order to make better content. You know, I think the software is more important than the gear. So like the being able to use stuff like the script, that's way more valuable to you as a creator than whether you can press a button to shift. True. I think
all right,
well, let's change up gears, and my question now is what's on everybody's wish list for gear?
Oh boy.
Hard question.
No, that's $1 million question. if I may say, I did away with a big 32-channel digital mixing desk, which I was using for audio production and stuff. Went to the Rodecaster Pro 1, And then because somebody watched my stream, loved how it sounded, I sold that and the microphone at the same time and bought a Go XLR. So I'm now on a Go XLR with a Tascam mic, condenser mic, which is this one here, which is pretty cool and sounds great. And so my wish list for new gear would be a Sigma 16mm lens to go with my Sony A5100, which is discontinued.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. The lens is not discontinued. The camera is discontinued. But
I thought you meant the lens was.
No, to be fair, the Sigma.
I don't think the Sigma's that. Like again, I bought the Sigma. I don't. If one thing I found the Sigma, and I'd be interested to hear because I'm not a camera guy. I don't understand it. Mm. But like so, like Nick Nimmin was the one that told me he was like, get a Sigma, and I was like, great. And then I realized, yeah, but I'm in a 2x2 room, and there's not enough space
to give me any depth of field.
There's no difference between the kit lens really and the Sigma.
Yeah.
It just looks like there's a bit of muck on the, you know, it's a little bit like you've got a couple of fingerprints. And that's the thing you don't think about until afterwards. And I was like, oh, great, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, Marcus, your time crunched.
I got an extra half hour. So
okay. I was going to say, you guys convinced all the answers to all the questions right now. No. Somebody wants to know what's your favorite graphic, overlay, or sound transition use. I guess this is more, you know, anybody have a, I don't really have a favorite. Does anybody have a favorite?
No.
Let's get my
favorite sound? App, like, Canva, yeah. Epidemic Canva. Sound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I use, because I'm in the radio industry, I use jingles, so.
Oh, that's nice.
If you guys can hear that. So that works sometimes, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That cost $300, by the way.
Well worth it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
good investment. Somebody wants to know any funny live streaming blooper or music live streaming anecdotes from the show you want to share?
Which one of all of them?
Good question, Robert.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Any? Yeah. I mean, just.
I can answer that.
Please.
I used to, before Ecamm, I used to have Restream, the app. So it's web-based, you know, and you can set your live stream from that program itself, much like Ecamm, right? So I didn't have Ecamm then. I had Restream. And Restream has like the studio and then the set scheduled live stream, right? So I had my guests in. I had Lala and another crafter with me, and we were inside the studio, and I said, oh, it's time for the live stream, let's go live. So I pushed on the button and we were dancing, and people were messaging us, are you going live? What time is your live? I said, we're already live, can't you see us? No, but we turns out we were just in the studio and not on the live stream. So I was like, oh my God, that's like 5 minutes of intro dancing and then talking. And then we had to repeat the same stuff again.
This has happened to me. Exactly. This has happened to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
no, I mean, that's it. It happened to me. I thought we were live, but because on Restream, it has some buttons that are like, okay, I didn't press go live. I clicked on something else. And
similar with that. Well, it's better than the other way.
Please.
Better than the other way around. If you think you are live and you're not, if you think you're not live but you're live, then
I think I've done with that's really not bad, but it's similar to what you guys are saying there, which is I always found when my first microphone was the Blue Yeti, which I don't have anymore. It's up there, but it doesn't really work or anything. Yeah, I know. And the Blue Yeti was a nightmare because if you can press the mute button on the top of it, and to go from what someone was just saying before about like this idea of no one's watching when you first start. So it's my first, no one's really watching me when I was first beginning and as a creator. So like I would, to be fair, for a number of weeks went live and had that button off. You know, like, and it was, yeah, that's the gig, exactly. And it's music, and you don't know. And it was going live to the YouTube, my old YouTube channel, and I'm talking about it, and I'm feeling super profound. And I'm uploading, I was using StreamYard, and I'm uploading audio to the podcast. And I have this real thing of I do like a one and done. So I don't check, because if I check, I analyze it. And I just try to get it, you know, done and over, and then not listen to it. And it was only when I started getting some people listening that they were like, your podcasts have nothing on it. And I was like, why is that the case? And then I watched
how many podcasts?
Probably about, that's one mistake. And then the other live stream one was, I did about 270 episodes of a podcast. I do daily shows. I did about 270 episodes, didn't understand and you'll get this with like being the radio, didn't understand copyright. I didn't understand any of that. So I had this music playing at the beginning, at the end, and had to wipe the whole thing, the whole show. And that show was ranked. It had got sponsors. Cool. And then when you start to school up and learn like this lesson, and it was like, what's the decision you make? You make the decision of, there's a live mistake of like, what do? You remove all of it? And it was getting about 15,000 downloads an episode at this point. It was doing really well. But it was like, but it's getting to the point where no one, if it gets too big, I'm going to get absolutely done because I'm using music I then genuinely didn't know, didn't have the right to. So that was painful.
Ouch. Was that painful financially for you, or did you just start again?
I just approached the sponsors. I just told the sponsors what I'd done, to be honest. This is quite a while ago now. And I just kind of approached them. It wasn't that painful financially. To be honest, I hid it a lot. I didn't talk about it. I told the sponsors, but I didn't tell them publicly. And then as I started to kind of progress with it, I thought, this is actually a really interesting story, and actually a story that people should know, because if I can catch you when you're doing one, two, or three episodes and not 200 odd. It did have an impact financially at the beginning, but not as big as I thought. I actually thought the sponsors would go crazy. Mm. And that's when and the brand deals, and they were so nice. Like, that's something that I really learned, was like, they were so nice. They were like, no, it's fine. We understand. We're supporting you. And the RSS feed was still there. So you understand. The RSS feed still had the spot subscribers. I still had all of the accolades in regards to, you know, like listen notes, all of that stuff was there, that's what they wanted. They wanted, oh, he's charting and he's this, the other. But gosh, that really was painful. That was really painful.
Yeah.
Epidemic Sounds is the best thing you could possibly spend.
Yes, yes it is.
Yes. 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 It's weight in gold.
Let's see. Walter's got a question. He says, what has been one missed opportunity for you on YouTube last year that you're looking to work on this year?
That's a good question.
I have one, but I want to let someone go first before I rob all the time.
Don't everybody speak at once? No, okay.
I'll dive in if someone does want.
Shorts. Shorts, yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
I agree.
So shorts, my thing with the shorts is this makes me again upset, not upset, but funny when you learn about it. But it is like, so I was uploading YouTube shorts when it first came out, and that's how I grew. Like me and Royal know. So I was like well into shorts because I was very into TikTok, and it just makes sense. And so when shorts first come out, I was doing 5 to 10 a day, and that's where this channel came from. And I was saying to everybody, and I'm on Walter's show going, you need to be on shorts. Shorts is the thing. It's where it's going to be at. And if you don't be sure, Roy's like, no, you know, it's the story. And I'm like, do it. And then I told it, there's a guy called Austin Armstrong, who's a friend of mine, who I said to Austin, I was like, you need to be on shorts. He's like this TikTok marketing guy. And he was like, yeah, I think you're right. And he started uploading 3 to 5 a day as well, like me. And then I slumped and was like, nah, I don't know if shorts is really the thing that it's going to, because then I started, no one was talking about it. Sean Cannell, none of the big channels were talking about it. And I was like, maybe I'm wrong. And Austin carried on uploading. And some of you might know Austin because all of a sudden, and he's a good friend of mine. And all of a sudden he was like, he just blew up and he sent me the message and he was like, I'm really glad you told me to keep uploading shorts. And I was like, Oh no. So that's the biggest mistake I ever made, but that's another one where it was like, he just was like, and then he wrote me a little thing going, really glad Ash told me. And he's now like nearly at half a million subscribers on the shorts. And it was just like blew up. And it's because he did, not because of me, but because we were like, I was like, I think you need to move it to there. And I really wish, trust your gut again, the story of that. Like, if you see like shorts, like we're acting on it now, that's where I think is this, it's already, it's mad.
Definitely. All right. There are a bunch of questions out here, but the show will run too long, and I have to apologize to anybody. Anybody's questions I didn't get to, I will do my best to reach out to all you guys and kind of get a little snippet of your thoughts on that. Maybe you can all make shorts for the answers to the questions. There you go, if you need content ideas.
True, that's a good one. Yeah.
Bingo.
So now this kind of we're wrapping up, and I just want to give everybody an opportunity to kind of talk about what's next. What are you working on next? What are you really proud of that's coming in the pipeline? You know, just kind of tell us about next steps, and I'm going to start with Tina.
What's next? You know, I'm still going to be doing a lot of shorts because that's how my subscribers almost doubled, and it's still growing. And what's next is I want to be able – the reason why I bought a podcast originally, like in 2021, was to really do a podcast. Now, I want to continue with that. I want to do interviews more, maybe a podcast, maybe on live stream, something like that. And also, not with live stream and anything like that, I want to build my own sound booth because my problem is my neighbor's dogs keep on barking every time I have a live stream or anything like that. And I'm going deep into voiceover work. Right now I'm doing voiceover work for just one company, which I've been working on with since 2017. Now I want to branch out and reach out in addition to other companies as well. And the only way that I can produce a decent voiceover work is to have my own sound booth where everything is soundproof and no dogs or sound of are allowed inside. So that's what I plan to do.
Cool. That's awesome. All right, Paul, how about you, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Tina while she's just talking about that. Is that in English or Tagalog?
It's in English.
Oh, cool. Okay. Competition. Love it. you're on about my next thing, I need to do some shorts. So I need to start doing shorts and to see how that grows and see how that makes the channel grow as well. So coming up with content that is short, sharp, to the point, and entertaining as well as being informative. I think that's my goal. I'm still doing radio. I'm on radio every day of the week for Zest Liverpool, 10 o'clock each weekday morning, doing the mid-morning show. And I record it here in my room and send it up line, and they do all the music production and stuff like that, which is great. But I'm also freelance for Radio X in Devon here in the UK. So I'm there again on the 3rd of February doing the Drive Time show. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's coming up soon. But as regards the, you know, where I see it going in the future, my next big thing is, as I say, to create content that people are still interested in from a voiceover slant. So hopefully, Tina, you'll be able to follow that and be interested in what I have to offer. And I'll help as much as I can as regards the kind of sound booth and stuff and any advice
Thank
I can give you.
You.
So, yeah, you're more than welcome. But, you know, just to enjoy the journey and to continue creating online content and audio production. So that's my future.
Cool. Ash?
Sorry, I'm getting sucked into Paul's ironing channel on the side. I'm checking everyone else's channels out as we go through. And I'm like,
Brilliant.
Wow, I'm just sucked in now. So keep that up. I think you'll be famous for that, Paul. what's for me next? Really, this kind of year is all about trying to dial in on being, I'm a bit chaotic with my content's all out there, but trying to dial in on more of a client journey and focusing on how creating what I would call brand assets. That's my thing right now. So it's like focusing on making much higher quality content that is proper evergreen for the ideal client. And part of that, it will be within YouTube and stuff, but it's really part of that is seeing how AI fits into that. That's been a big, big, big one with AI because it's very good, but I'm just trying to figure out how that fits into the process without losing your personality. So that's, I think, going to be probably my entire year's mission, really, of figuring out how can you use AI to scale up even more, but also not be generic. I think that's going to be probably my entire focus.
Yeah, definitely a challenge. As everybody runs toward AI and ChatGPT and tools like that.
I think you should run away. Yeah,
I have it on my really notes here to say about it. So where am I focused? I guess shorts, since we all agree that shorts is the thing to focus. I know that I have to focus on that. But And also, I think I might be able to answer one question that I saw briefly appearing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm focusing on creating recorded videos like tutorials about WordPress, about workflow. And since December, I decided, okay, what is working best for me? That, yes, I use a weekend, a Saturday, and I create, I don't know, short videos in that day, like record them, five different subjects, where then I schedule them on YouTube, so once a week. So instead of filming every week, I find, okay, what day of the week do I think that I can do that? And I do that. And that has been actually very good for me. And this is what I'm going to continue focusing, because then I have time to do other stuff. And ChatGPT is very good. It's a great assistant. Yeah. It's a great way to use it to generate ideas, because you do mention, Tina and Paul, about the inspiration. Put it, give me 5 to 10 ideas about audio production, about that and that equipment, or about crafting this and that with that material. And you get suggestions that can help with creativity. So I'm using also AI to become more efficient and to, you know, to help me as my virtual assistant. That is what it does. So focusing on creating evergreen content, and I want to go live a bit more than last year, but since time is a bit challenging, I don't think I can commit to a steady schedule, but I will do it as much as I can.
Yep. Marcus, what's your next adventure?
For me, definitely lean into the shorts. The last two shorts I did were the ones I really tried, not with very much effort, but with just thinking about something and trying. And now I think I need to go into batch production of that, because coming up with one idea, filming it and putting it out is much too tedious, and that will be a thing. And then booking interview guests, I have a lot of fun interviewing people, and I'm always very interested in what people have to say, and so we'll go on with that.
Good stuff. I guess I'll talk for a sec. So you're going to see a lot more shorts from me. I've started doing that. My process is insane. So if you watch my video, how dumb people make YouTube shorts, that's my process. It shouldn't involve Final Cut Pro and going airdrop back and forth between the captions app and Final Cut Pro. Nobody should do it that way. So don't. It's a cautionary tale. I'm also going to be doing more interviews, definitely continuing the creators meetup, because that's a lot of folks really enjoy that. Thank you all for watching it, but going to be much more interviews and more focused on my recorded videos as well, because I literally have a notebook full of ideas for my recorded videos, and I keep putting them off because going live is so much easier than doing a recorded video and having to edit, because, hey, we're live now, and what you see is what you got. So that's it. Somebody asked about the headphones. So let me find that. Somebody asked why some people wear larger headphones and some do not. And for me, it's because my wife says I look silly with headphones on.
I've in ear.
Here they are.
I guess it's a personal preference, right?
Yeah.
I have the in-ear one, and this one are much more comfortable.
They look very comfortable.
I just have big ears, so I just.
I'm the only one without a headset.
I've got in-ears. That's what I do. But
I got in-ears.
Okay. Cool. That's the professional way to do it. Yeah, but for me, it's because it's a better sound. It sounds better for me than those tiny things, and I've got little tiny ears, and they always fall out. So
I have a radio guy. Totally, headphones. It would probably break some law if you didn't have headphones on.
You're probably right. Yeah.
All right, that is our show. I just want to thank all of our guests. I want to thank everybody. I know I tried to get
thank you, Roy.
Comments as I could, but thank you so much, all of you, for being on the
show.
Thank
you. Nice to meet all of you.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Check out all your channels.
Yeah,
for sure.
So everybody, just hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and thank you to everybody. And so I want to thank you all for being on the show. That's it. We're calling it. I'm going to hit that little outro button. And bye.
Have a great
everybody.
Weekend.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, I'm going to try to hit the outro button. Nothing's working today. Okay, I'm just going to end the stream. Everybody just, go home. All right. Thanks, everybody. And bye again. There we go. Something might work. Who knows? All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you again. Bye.